The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 355. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside he only does everything, Colin Moriarty.
What an exhausting morning.
It's not, the day's not even half done. Of course,
it's the like Gamescom. It's like a fourth done for me.
The Gamescom is happening. The PlayStation press conference just happened. We have a lightning round of Beyond for you because we're out of time because we're running late. In the ever-rotating third chair, the one and only fiercest fighter in the office, Vince Ingenito.
What's up, everyone? Yeah, if your day is a quarter done, mine's like three quarters done because I've been here since 5 in the a.m.
That's early. Because you came from Microsoft, too.
That's right. I do Microsoft as well.
Right. Yeah, Greg and I we watch the conference.
Yep.
We're going to Sony in a couple hours.
Yep.
We're going to have some very many things to tell you tomorrow.
Right. But right now, we're going to deconstruct this entire conference by beginning the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
I like how everything's like so accelerated.
Yeah,
like,
we got to go. Of course,
usually takes us.
This is the IGN PlayStation Podcast, number one PlayStation Podcast on the internet. Like, subscribe, share, all that stuff.
I like how it usually takes us 20 minutes to get to the Roper Report. There are 15 items on the list.
Jesus!
Now, keep in mind that this is only news from the conference. Any news, interesting news like Hotline Miami, for instance, getting a date on PS4, that's not in here.
That's next week.
There are some various announcements, blah, 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 Surgeon Simulator, all that kind of stuff. Not going to be in here. There are 15 items just from the conference, and some things might be missing. Sorry, that's the way it's going to be. Number one. Biggest news, PlayStation 4 has officially sold over 10 million units to consumers. That means that this isn't a ship number or sold stores. This is, they made it very clear, this is a consumer. So the install base is over 10 million.
Unlike which is, some companies.
It took them 9 months to reach that goal. That would make PlayStation 4 continue to be the fastest selling console of all time. So that's that.
You think it's all a tie-in for the Flash TV show?
Yep.
Get it? Because it's fast.
Yeah, it's
we
speedy.
Put more PlayStation 4s on, they'll be gone in a flash. Speaking of Flash, PlayStation way.
And just as a note, PlayStation 4 outsold Vita in 9 months.
Oh, speaking of which, Jamie wrote into Beyond at IGN.com and said, what are y'all wearing to the Vita's funeral? Woo, doctor.
I'm going naked.
I'm gonna keep laughing so I don't cry.
The tears. Yeah, not nothing. No. I'm sure we're going to get to it. Go ahead.
We'll get to it. Technically, Sony or Vita has fewer exclusives now than it did at the beginning of the morning. We'll get to that soon. Number two, Until Dawn has been re-revealed and is a PlayStation 4 exclusive title. The game, which was once on PlayStation 3, which Greg and I saw about 3 years ago running, is still being worked on by Supermassive Games in the UK, and it has been significantly reworked and rewritten. It's still a horror game in the style of a teen horror movie, though it seems a little like not quite as campy anymore.
Yeah, it looks way more Eli Roth-y.
And we hope to learn more about it soon.
I can already break news for you. Based on my eye for Nashville Stars, that's Hayden Panettiere. Yep. That's sure what is. She had the balls all over her face about. She's in that game.
It's a family podcast.
We're going to get her on up at noon. There is no way Podcast Beyond is a family podcast.
Yeah.
If you are listening with this your children, you are doing it wrong.
Podcast Beyond is in no way, shape, or form designed for children.
Better not bring your kids.
Number three.
We are in rare form. We got to do these accelerated shows more, the 45-minute podcast.
Go!
number three, both Journey and The Unfinished Swan are officially coming to PlayStation 4. Both games were largely rumored to be coming to PS4 over the past month, with various leaks all but confirming it. Both titles are being ported externally and will run at 1080p. Interestingly, there's no word on Vita versions for the games. The Unfinished Swan's initial PS4 leak indicated it would also come to Vita. In case people don't know, Journey was Game of the Year on IGN 2012. Unfinished Swan was nominated for Game of the Year in 2012. Those are arguably the two best digital games on PS3. Why they want to continue on porting every goddamn PS3 game to PS4 is anyone's guess, but other than that,
you're fine with it.
There it is.
Tell us why you're mad, Colin. Tell us why you're mad.
I just don't understand. But, I tweeted this today, and a lot of people were like, but I didn't have a PlayStation 3 and stuff. And I'm like, I sympathize with you, but there are two things.
Hold on. Jason wants to...
Jason's going to jump in?
Jason from Tennessee writes in and says, what up, a jolly Tennessee beyond to Greg, Colin, and Eric, the ever-rotating third chair, of course.
Yeah.
I have a question about a topic which Colin already expressed his frustration. This week, IGN reported that Sleeping Dogs is getting a definitive edition and is coming to current-gen consoles. Who is trying to sneak in? It's Sean. No, Sean, don't f***ing touch the light.
Goodbye.
I gotta bleep that
out,
too.
Bye.
Now I gotta bleep that
quick.
Out. Okay. Nick Scarpino had to set us up because you lied to us about setting us up, Sean. And he liked it that way. Whatever time it is in the stupid thing. I'm all frazzled. There's too much happening.
Oh, my God. Number four.
Woo! No. Jason says.
Wes got woo!
Bummer up.
This might be one of the greatest episodes of the app.
Jason said, why are we getting so many definitive editions coming to current-gen consoles, especially from Square Enix? And did this kind of post-release up-res porting happen during the PlayStation 2 PS3 transition era? Finally. What did these definitive editions do to the PlayStation ecosystem? Colin, sound off.
So did they happen between PS2 and PS3? No. So it really all started. I mean, it started way back. It started with like Super Mario All-Stars and stuff like that. But Sony really started the trend of releasing these up-res versions of games with God of War Collection and the Sly Collection and all those kinds of games. And it was novel. Ratchet. Like, the games that we haven't seen in a while, right? And they did it like once in a while. Now they're just doing it with everything. Like, everyone's just doing it with every game. You know? Like... The Last of Us was awesome. Like I said, The Last of Us in my review, I was like, this is a must-play game. This is an exception. Like, this should be everywhere. And Journey and Unfinished Swan are great. So are Escape Plan and Flower and all the other games that are coming out.
Some of these games aren't great.
It's just that they already exist. PlayStation Now exists. I don't want them spending even the minute amount of money they spend on external studios to port these games. I'd rather them focus on new experiences. And a lot of people are like, this is the thing that really gets me, is like, well, I didn't own a PS3 and I'm new, you know, I'm new to the PlayStation ecosystem. I'm like, welcome. But what that basically says is that people that were loyal to PlayStation 3 and owned one, well, you just get these games again. And everyone else can just play them for the first time. And I don't really like that rationale personally. You know what I mean? Like, that's what PlayStation Now is for. So spend that money on some of the new games and put your older games on PlayStation Now, or God forbid, just make the PlayStation Network backwards compatible, and you can download all the PS3 games on PS4.
Speaking of loyalty, Greg Way, Josh Prayer writes in and says, Beyond. Dear Beyond. Greg Collin, in the ever-rotating third chair, with the recent announcement that Rise of the Tomb Raider is an Xbox exclusive, a lot of PlayStation fans are feeling betrayed and angry at the news. Why, after Tomb Raider started on PS1, would they choose now to alienate the fan base of PlayStation? What is your opinion on this? Is Square Enix and Crystal Dynamics making a bad decision, abandoning the PlayStation fan base?
So I'm real quick. As far as I understand, that is not a real exclusive. Like, I've been reading online that it's a timed exclusive, and like the language is all fuzzy. So I don't know one way or the other. But I've been reading
fuzzy.
A lot
of
stuff.
You were living this morning,
and that's right.
There's no time to think about my grammar. You were alive this morning.
I was living and breathing, kind of a sort. No, but the thing about this is that over time, PR speak has become increasingly flexible on this point, and I think it was established without any of us agreeing to it, but like just by not calling it out, that a couple of years ago, they just started calling timed exclusives,
yeah,
because they technically had, well, no one's called them out, and no one's called them for their bullshit,
right?
So I mean, it's just like.
But Mitch Dyer was trying to catch me up on it this morning, saying that originally it was an exclusive this holiday season. Everybody's
right.
Like, oh, it's an exclusive to that. And then they went through on their Tumblr blog post and said, no, exclusive, comma, and coming. Like, it's not – they were making it sound like it is definitive that it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have to do more research. We haven't had much time.
Yeah.
But this reminds me a lot of, like, didn't Microsoft, like, tweet that Metal Gear Solid 5 was exclusive at one point or whatever? There's just, like, all sorts of – when they had Kojima on stage, like, that was a thing.
People throw that word
yeah.
around. Here's the one thing. Here's the fly in the ointment.
Slow it down.
So. We don't have time to go slow. We go fast. Woo-woo! No, we
– Podcast Beyond 355. Gotta go fast.
So this year you heard at Gamescom, everyone was like, yeah, so this is going to make its console debut. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're being very specific about if the game is coming late, if they know the game is coming later to another console, they're using that that verbiage.
Sure.
So I would imagine that if they just said exclusive, and they certainly did just say exclusive, that they at least to their knowledge think the game
it's wrapped up.
There are no plans at this point, at the very least.
Yeah, someone's got to ask for the game to come. Someone's got to ask them, are you making a PlayStation 4 version of this game or a PC version of this game?
Right.
Also, Greg, if you swallow that water as loud as you just
There's
did,
no time for this kind of sidetracking. The Tomb Raider thing, he's offended as a PlayStation fan. It makes sense. I mean, I assume on a business level, right? Like, Tomb Raider sold well, but they talked about the fact that it didn't sell as well as they wanted it to. It wasn't a success by their numbers. So you're assuming they come to him with Rise of the Tomb Raider like, hey, you're not going to sell that much, so here's what Microsoft's offering compensation-wise to make sure that it's that.
And as we know from the PS3 to PS4 ports, it took us all of 8 months to get the definitive edition of Tomb Raider on PlayStation 4, so thank you for that. Number four, Housemarque. Woo! The developer best known for Super Stardust, HD, Dead Nation, and Resogun is officially hard at work on a new PlayStation 4 exclusive. God bless them.
We love
it. It's called Alienation and looks to be a sci-fi inspired shooter in the twin stick style, which is what Housemarque is best known for. We hope to have more on this game soon. Very exciting news that they're already working on another game.
Housemarque's talented.
Really, 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 really exciting. Everything they touch so far has been awesome.
I thank Sky Wizard for them. I really do.
Oh, that's what you call God?
I love the Sky Wizard.
I love Sky Wizard.
God bless him.
I'm just not familiar with its origin. I'm sorry.
Don't make fun of my faith.
That wizard came from the moon.
Don't make fun of the faith I don't have, Craig. Okay, relax. Anyway, number five.
Yeah, we won't spend any time on that because it speaks for itself. Number five, The Vanishing of Ethan Mars is coming to PlayStation 4. Originally announced only for PC, the game will come to console first on PS4 and revolves around a supernatural detective charged with investigating the kidnapping of a young boy. It's an adventure game in genre, though it seems to have significant horror elements as well.
That sounds cool.
Sound cool.
X-People Can Fly devs are amongst that team.
Cool.
The astronauts. So.
That's Boltstorm, right?
Yeah.
Number six, this is an exciting one. DayZ is officially coming to PlayStation 4. Bohemian Interactive is bringing its hit PC survivalist shooter at an unknown date and time to Sony's console, and it will be somewhat identical to the PC version, taking place in a post-Soviet state after a dangerous infection has wiped out most of the world's population. That game, I think, started as a mod, right?
Yep,
right.
And I think it looks really cool. It sounds really cool.
Here's my problem: we didn't see anything. It's DayZ. Like, at this point, like, don't come out and make an announcement about it. Show stuff. Show how it's running on PlayStation 4. Give some kind of hint for a window. I'm excited too,
right?
But I'd love to know more. I mean, but the fact that they don't show it, they don't talk about it, makes me think, well, best case scenario, fall 2015. Like,
I also don't know what the console market is going to make of that game. I mean, I think it's a cool game, but again, it piggybacking off of Arma 2. If you've ever played Arma 2 or Arma 3, you know it has a very particular feel to it that I just, you know, call it, like, if you look at console gamers, they play shooters. They're used to that, like, kind of blazing fast, super fluid action. I mean, even by survival horror standards on console, I would say Arma 2 feels a little bit, and not in a bad way, but intentionally kind of slow and deliberate. Interesting to see how people, you know, on the console side accept that.
I think they'll be fine. They accepted Minecraft, no problem. Granted, not the exact same thing.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying apples to apples here, but
sure.
I think there's those crossovers. Tyler writes in and says, and you can do it at beyond@ign.com, but you already know that we don't have time for the email address. Will DayZ affect the little-known H1Z1 being developed by Sony? First off, that's being developed by Sony Online Entertainment.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, they've confirmed a PlayStation 4 version, right?
Everyone's just always assumed.
They're talking PC, but of course SOE is the folks who brought Free Realms, DC Universe Online, PC games to the PlayStation platform. You'd imagine it's happening.
PlanetSide.
I hope it's happening. Thank you, PlanetSide.
And also, the only way it's going to be a problem is if you live in a world where there's this imaginary rule where there can only be one zombie survival game on a platform at any given time, which is a rule clearly no one has been following for the last decade.
I think it would only be a problem if they come out head-to-head. I mean, H1Z1 seems to be ahead of the curve. We don't know how far DayZ is, but I doubt there's going to be anybody where, hey, this great MMO with zombies is coming out. It's called H1Z1. I'm waiting for DayZ.
Right.
Thank you.
All right, that's enough. Number seven. Ruffian Games revealed Hollow Point, a PlayStation 4 and PC shooter that revolves around dangerous corporations and the mercenaries they employ. It has cooperative options, including four-player co-op, and will launch in 2015. If Ruffian Games sounds familiar to you, that's because the studio is best known for Crackdown 2 on Xbox 360. The game will be published by Paradox.
Cool.
Number eight.
Yay, video games.
Sony has outlined its massive upcoming firmware update, firmware 2.0, for PlayStation 4. 2.0 will have friend-finding features, and as previously promised, will also support direct uploading of videos to YouTube. But the biggest addition is SharePlay, the ability for players to play the same game on PS4, regardless of where they are in the world. Interestingly, you can invite your friends to play alongside you cooperatively or competitively, and only one of you has to actually own the game.
That's cool.
So that's pretty neat. We'll see how that works.
You're going to play a whole bunch of people, right? You're
gonna be playing, all the time.
I'm going to
figure out the quickest way to shut that option off on my PS4. And
what are they going to do for people who don't have friends? I'm just...
Oh, Vinny.
You use your PlayStation TV to have it on another television in your house, and your cat will sit in front of it.
Yo, I want to play with my cat.
Number nine. Q Games, the developer best known for its extensive Pixel Junk series on PlayStation 3, PSP, and Vita, is working on a new game for PS4. It's exclusive. It's called The Tomorrow Children. And unlike many of Q Games' other titles, it's in 3D. It takes place in a Soviet-like state in an alternate history. It seems to take a page out of Minecraft, but right now little else is currently known about it. Mm-hmm. I think calling it just Minecraft is very reductive. I don't think it's just that, but it is about mining. Sure. It is about mining.
Yeah.
So... we'll see. It looks like the trailer is actually really cool
and super creepy.
Yeah, really creepy. Yeah. And Q Games is awesome.
Yeah,
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, so it's good. I was wondering if they were not going to be in the fold anymore because they started porting Pixel Junk games to PC and they're making other stuff now. But it seems like they got them back, which is cool. Number 10. This is the lightest news of all because I have no idea what the hell it is. PT, a mysterious horror game, was announced for PlayStation 4, and some sort of interactive demo for it is live right now on the PlayStation Network.
Right.
I have no idea what else to say about that.
Yeah,
game.
The demo cut off too, right?
Yep.
The trailer was going, and it just abruptly stopped, and it was like, oh, all right.
And then and then Andrew Ryan was just
like,
number 11
this time around. You got a lot of crap last time he was on stage.
No, I think the European guys are great.
Yeah.
Everyone's great.
We're all great.
Number 11.
I saw Shuhei in the audience. See him sitting next to Andrew House like a boss.
I'm surprised they didn't put him up there.
He can't steal the limelight forever.
That's true.
They got to make sure there's other people.
They're getting tired
out.
Of it.
Yeah.
Number 11. Destiny's first expansion pack, The Dark Below, is announced at Sony's press conference, though Bungie seemed to make it clear that unlike Destiny's betas, everyone who plays the game will get the DLC at the same time, regardless of the console they're playing on. Additionally, it was revealed that Destiny is officially the most pre-ordered new IP of all time. According to GameStop. And that a majority of its pre-sales have come on PlayStation 4.
All right. I'm excited.
Yay for them. They're making money.
Number 12.
I mean, for the game. I'm not excited for money making.
Number 12.
Number 12.
Media Molecule is working on a new PS4 game, and we didn't find out what that was today. We did, however, learn that Tearaway is being ported from PlayStation Vita to PlayStation 4 in the form of Tearaway Unfolded. The game will essentially be a straight port, up-res, and reworked for PS4 and the DualShock 4 controller. It's still unclear when it will launch. That's why I was saying earlier in the podcast that Vita technically has one fewer exclusive now.
I got so excited when they came out.
Me too.
Expecting to hear the PlayStation 4 thing, and then it was Tearaway, and I was like, all right, we're going to get through this Tearaway port to... Oh, no, no, they're going.
Nope,
that's it.
That's
I was excited when I saw their logo, and then I saw Rex come out, and Rex did Tearaway, so I was like, that's probably the project he's most immersed in. You assume that he is not working on their major PS4 game, so when I saw him, I was like, this must have something to do with Tearaway.
Mark writes into beyond@IGN.com, just like you can. He says, I was disappointed that Media Molecule just remade Tearaway, honestly. I was excited about most of the indie games. Do you guys think that Guerrilla should have showed their game to end it, or shown Media Molecule's PS4? So basically, he wants to know, should it have ended with Guerrilla or Media Molecule's PS4 thing?
It would have been cool. I think what's most tantalizing about all of this, regardless of how you feel about some of these games, is that we still have no idea what a lot of these first-party studios are working on, which makes the future really
such
kind
as
of... Guerrilla, Media Molecule,
and
Bend. Bend.
Bend.
Bend.
Bend.
But even, you know, like most of the studios we really are a mystery right now, and that's exciting, and they're still a mystery after today. Like, literally no first-party studio announced a new game today.
Isn't it getting kind of old, though?
I guess. I mean, what do you like? Maybe the Guerrilla's just not ready yet. You know.
Yes. I mean, I understand that. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, like, you know, it's. I don't know how much it's exciting. I mean, like the reaction, you know, the straw poll I'm seeing on Twitter is people were disappointed in the conference, right?
I was. I mean, I guess so. It's just. It's not like they went out there and were like, "We have no games."
Sure. No.
Like our studios aren't ready, and we have no games to show. It's like we actually have a ton of games with second party partners that are exclusive. Some of them aren't. Some of them are. And then our studios are still working on these games. So I think that you can kind of have the best of both worlds. I think people have to be a little more realistic. Like, it seems like Sony's being smarter about how they announce their games
sure.
so that The Last Guardian doesn't happen over and over again.
Right. That's a great point.
When they're ready, they're ready. You know, let's keep in mind that, you know, there are a lot of rumors about Sony Santa Monica's game, which was in development for years. They had layoffs at the studio earlier, and that game was apparently canceled. You know, we've heard that from all over the internet.
Good point.
And that game was never revealed at all. So at least they saved themselves the trouble of having, you know, because those kinds of things happen.
Yep.
That's unconfirmed, of course, but, you know, those are the rumors we've heard. So I think it's great. Like, I was excited about this stuff because it's like, well, I would love to see what Guerrilla's working on, but I can wait. I mean, you know, where there's all these other games.
I think.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, it's okay. I think also in terms of the press conference itself, I think the reason some people are disappointed is because I do think that Tearaway unfolded is a really weird way to end the. It's not to me. It's not an exclamation point.
Sure.
To me, that is a game that so Vita.
It's an ellipsis.
Exactly. The Vita ownership in the world is, you know, we're a rare bunch. And even amongst them, I would say Tearaway, as great as it is, wasn't a game that everyone connected with.
I did not.
Right. I certainly didn't at all. And I came into it expecting fully to love it. So that said, like, I feel like that was aimed at a very specific part of their demographic. And I thought for sure when they showed that, I'm like, okay, they got one more and it's going to be a big, big hammer.
I expected and one more thing. And it's just a teaser trailer like we got at E3 and Uncharted
4. Exactly. That's what
I
thought.
That's the exclamation point of – and it's Guerrilla's logo. It's 2 seconds of – post-apocalyptic world, not a, you know, just another CG trailer.
Right.
It's just Nate and Sully playing cards, calling
Chloe. Dressed as Hellgast.
Yeah. Oh my god. Real quick, Eric wanted to chime in. We're talking a little bit about Tearaway on PlayStation 4 right now. He has a question about it, just to clarify. Just wondering your thoughts about PlayStation 4's Tearaway. We already got that. I enjoyed the first one quite a bit, but after getting the Platinum, I realized I would probably never play it again. The Gamescom announcement made it sound like a Tearaway 0.5 of sorts. My question is, do you guys know if this will be the Vita title with a few new levels? Thanks.
He said that something like this. He said something, not verbatim, but like this is essentially the same game. Like,
they showed the PlayStation 4 interaction. They showed the new thing where you're using the touchpad for the wind. I think those are like the big bullet points of like Tearaway plus this stuff for the PlayStation controller.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I think we have to take away from you know what I took away from this, and I don't think a lot of people are looking at it this way, just in general, the conference and even the way Xbox is doing their thing with Sunset and stuff like that, is that a lot of people were saying that third party exclusives are dead. Third party exclusives are alive and they're well. They're all over the goddamn place right now, you know? And even if Tomb Raider ends up being an exclusive or whatever, Sony's working with all of these studios that are outside of their ecosystem, some they've never worked with at all, some that are brand new, which we'll get to in a little while, that, like, are making exclusive titles. So a lot of people thought that the era of exclusivity was over, but the era of exclusivity is pretty big right now. And that's kind of what I walked away from that thinking, was that Sony owns 16 or 17 studios. We don't know what most of them are working on. They're staunch partners that they don't own, like Quantic are working on things that we don't know what they're working on right now. And then they have all these other teams that are just making games. And I'm like, this is good. I mean, this is good. This is a good for an exclusive ecosystem for both consoles, the same way, you know, Microsoft's working with their partners. So that's what I kind of walked away from this conference in. I don't think a lot of people are looking at it quite like that.
Yeah, Vince.
Well, I'm just the flip side of that is that I feel like, sure, there's a – so the word exclusive is being thrown around a lot, right? People are – almost every single – I saw both press conferences today. Almost every single one, every game came with some kind of a – something exclusive. It's this kind of an exclusive.
Like a caveat,
it's that kind of exclusive. You know, it's an exclusive for this amount of time. It's an exclusive to console. They're using that word a lot.
First to console is
first
one of the
big ones. First to console. So yeah, I mean, I still think that getting exclusive stuff is going to be a big part of the ecosystem forever, because as long as you've got two people competing, they're going to try to find ways to differentiate themselves from one another. But a lot of it, not all of it, I'll say, but I think a lot of it just comes down to marketing speak.
No, I agree. I mean, when I look at the list, so far we've gone through, Until Dawn is an exclusive, a real exclusive. Journey and Unfinished Swan are obviously exclusive. Alienation's really exclusive. The Vanishing Ethan Mars is not exclusive. Daisy is not exclusive. Hollow Point is not exclusive. Let's see. The Tomorrow Children is exclusive. PT is probably not exclusive. Destiny is not exclusive. Tearaway is exclusive. And there's one more exclusive and one more not exclusive coming up. So like, it seems like a good...
A pretty fair mix, yeah.
Number 13, PlayStation TV, which is, is Vita TV, probably, has a release date for the West. The home version of PlayStation Vita, which allows you to play most Vita games on your TV, as well as PS1 and PS2 classics, and also allows you to mirror your PS4 on another TV, which is very exciting. We'll launch on October 14th in North America and November 14th in Europe. It'll cost $99 or €99, respectively, and will come with vouchers for free digital games. I'm going to buy one. But
yeah, you are.
More as a curiosity.
I just love what a super nerd you are. We're like, blah, blah, blah. And this is super exciting. Mirror your PlayStation 4 on another TV.
I think that's awesome because
I'm with you. Because we have remote play.
Well, because Greg and I, we have, three TVs in the house, and we are constantly bringing our consoles between them.
Yeah.
And it's just annoying. So we could just keep a Vita TV in there and just mirror the PS4 without having to move things. I think that's great. But maybe not a common problem. Number 14.
Certainly not in San Francisco. It's not a common problem.
Number 14, Ninja Theory, the studio known to PlayStation fans for creating Heavenly Sword, and the studio also responsible for the Devil May Cry reboot, DMC, has announced its new game. It's called Hellblade, and frankly, it looks a hell of a lot like Heavenly Sword.
I can't believe it's not.
However, Heavenly it doesn't appear to be exclusive. It'll only be coming first to PS4.
Which means it has to not be Heavenly Sword.
Yeah, so for people that don't know, Sony doesn't own Ninja Theory, but Heavenly Sword is a Sony-owned IP. If it is... And it looked, I think Kai is her name, which was the main character's sister.
Yes.
And Heavenly Sword, it looked like her.
Looked exactly
when I saw the art style and all that, I was like, this is Heavenly Sword too. But they, when they were going over the games after they announced them, they were like, these are all coming first to PlayStation 4. So that can't possibly be it. Unless Sony gave them permission to use the IP, which is possible. And remember that Heavenly Sword's getting a movie.
Yeah, that's the one. That might be the one big thing, right? Like, you can use the IP since we're trying to get this movie out. Right. You know, how actually build some kind of fan reaction for it.
Heavenly Sword had, like, a... I really like that game. Was probably the first, or one of the first PS3 exclusives that came out that I actually connected with. Because we were waiting for a long time for, like, something. You know, Resistance was good. Super Stardust, but... Which was, I think, around the same time, actually. Like, summer 2007. So, that came... Heavenly Sword came out in 2007. And that was one of the first ones I really connected with. So, and I think a lot of people were surprised that they didn't do a sequel. I think Ninja Theory wanted to do a sequel. I think they were clear about that. But the game didn't sell. So this is probably as close as we're going to get.
Yeah, I think I beat that game in about two sittings. I couldn't stop. One of the few times I got caught up with characters in an action game, which doesn't really happen. Usually I'm all about mechanics. Mm. You know, it's all about combat. And the combat was very good in Heavenly Sword, but... No, that was the first time I was ever, like, entranced by characters, and I cared about what they were saying and what they were doing. On the PS3, anyway, that was the first
game
that did this for me.
Yeah, that was that's a largely forgotten game.
Yeah.
For me, it was Super Rub-A-Dub.
Super Rub-A-Dub?
With the character.
Yeah. Echo Chrome. Number 15. Wild has been announced. Wild is the game's name, by the way.
Yes.
Has been announced as a PlayStation 4 exclusive. It comes by way of Sheep Studios, the new developer founded by Michel Ancel, who is best known for creating Ubisoft's smash hit series Rayman. The game apparently takes place on an enormous map and is all about creating your own creature and exploring the world. Little else is currently known about it. That's a pretty big get.
He's a pretty
OG.
He's a big
name. But we'll see more about that game. That is an exclusive. So as far as I understand. But who knows what that board even means anymore, like Vince was saying.
That was a great Baker's Dozen for the Roper Report, but now it's time to move on to the list. We don't have time to say it all. Dun, 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 dun.
On new games
this week.
Comes
out this week if you're new to the show. If you picked a horrible show to listen to, if you're new to the show,
this
by the way.
May be the worst episode.
I hear a lot of good things about podcasts, to be honest. It's like a screaming. And, ah!
This might be the best or the worst episode, depending on how you look at it.
I think it's going to be, it's up there. With
it's going to be a cult classic.
I love you guys. I love the show. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.
Woo!
Woo!
Woo! Woo! So you opened that can, and now it's like, I must have watched that video maybe three times a day all through college.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Thanks, E-Bombs World.
It's like taking everything in my power not to, like, recite it from the beginning. So just go.
On PlayStation 3, Akiba's Trip, Undead and Undressed, is available digitally and at retail. That's a mysterious game. I played it at E3. It is very strange.
Mysterious very, is one word very, one might use to describe
very,
a
very strange
Moriarty.
Game. Hohokam is available digitally finally after what seems like a development cycle of 8 years. Risen 3 Titan Lords is available digitally in retail. On PlayStation 4, Hohokam is also available digitally. And Surgeon Simulator Anniversary Edition is available digitally. And
Out of the blue.
I'm intrigued by it. It has a platinum trophy, by the way.
I know what you'll be doing this weekend.
Screaming at your TV. Yeah. If you didn't like Octodad, you are not going to be down with Surgeon Simulator.
Vita also gets Akiba's Trip, Undead and Undressed digitally and at retail. Disgaea 4, A Promise Revisited is available digitally and at retail. We'll have a review of that soon. Akiba will also have a review of soon. Gravity Crash Ultra, which is pretty cool. I played it at E3, is available digitally. I'll be reviewing that in the coming weeks because I don't have any time right now. Hohokam is available digitally, and Hohokam's review should go up soon.
Yes.
My Singing Monsters is available digitally. No idea what that is. And Phantom Breaker Battlegrounds, which is a really cool beat-em-up that I think was on Xbox 360 originally, has been ported to Vita. And it looks pretty cool. So I'll be reviewing that as well, probably. But again, these reviews will be late because I have no time to do anything right now.
Oh,
and I'm working on Tales of Exilia 2, and that review will go up in the coming days. And if you're a Tales fan, you should be excited.
Please be excited for it.
Please be excited for the review of Tales. All right, now everybody put on your time traveling caps. We're going back to Jamie. He asks, what are y'all
Jamie's
wearing?
Jamie's a place or a time?
Jamie?
Yeah. What are you wearing to the Vita's funeral? Colin.
Yeah.
Where the F was the Vita today at Gamescom? Where was our Minecraft bundle?
I know, I couldn't believe, like, I couldn't, there was not a single mention of
not
that thing.
Peep.
In the sizzle reel, it showed, like, you know, some guys and gals playing PS4, and then there was one scene of a guy playing Vita, and then they, like, went back to, back to PS4.
And that probably only got in there because the editor didn't do his job. Like, oh, I forgot to cut it.
Hey, I didn't know you guys made a new PlayStation 4 controller that looked like a little thing.
No, it was super sad. I expected them to talk about Vita.
Yeah.
What's becoming increasingly clear is that they're never going to talk about Vita again.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's really a bummer. Like, the messaging has been all messed up for Vita. It's not selling well. I do think it could live again. I do think that it could sell better. I think that they can support it better. I think that it's a huge mistake to abandon it like this. Because it's going to be they're not going to get it. Like, let's get it straight. They're not going to discontinue the Vita. Like, people are like, the Vita's dead and all that. No, they're going to keep making it. It's just, like, it's relegated to this hyper niche now of people that really, like, are learning about it from their friends. Because when you play a Vita, when you look at a Vita, you're like, you're not maybe compelled by it. When you play it, I think most people are like, wow, this is actually really awesome. And that they're now relying solely on that to sell them. And not on, you know, any new compelling stuff. Like, I predicted in my Gamescom predictions piece, like, a Minecraft Vita bundle is, like, a no-brainer. You know, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And that should be something you should put in your conference.
Sure.
You know, but I don't know. It's sad. So what am I wearing to the funeral? I'm going naked.
You'll enjoy it from your bedroom, of course. Yeah, I mean, you know how I've been beating the drum for this Minecraft Vita. That's the one that I can't wait for. I think that could change the game. But yeah, if you never talk about it. Granted, we don't know the release date. Granted, it's we're over in Europe for this, so it's a little bit different, but I thought it was, come on, Vinny, where was anything?
I love this system so much. Like, yeah. I have like 20 plus games loaded on that at all times.
Yeah.
I can't stop playing it. For me, it's become so all the really awesome indie games that have maybe floated around a little bit on other platforms or on PC, it's just like I'm playing The Swapper on the go. Mm-hmm. I'm like, seriously? And then all the other similar indies that are coming down
Rogue
the pipe
Legacy.
Rogue Legacy. Yeah. I'm hopelessly addicted to Rogue Legacy right now. I don't know if I'm catching up to you yet.
What level are you?
Level 40 something.
Yeah, I'm like 105 now.
Okay, so yeah, I got a ways to go.
It goes really fast once you get going.
No, I absolutely adore it. Like, there's more games on the Vita that move me than games on the 3DS that move me, hands down. Like, there are a couple of games on the 3DS that I love that I've put a lot of hours into, but like that will keep my attention and give me like a wide catalog of what I'm looking for. To me, it's like entirely the Vita, and it makes me super sad that it's going the way it's.
We keep looking for that Infamous game. Keep looking for that Patapon game.
I don't think it's gonna happen.
It's never happening.
It's not gonna happen. The it's selling better in Japan. They keep announcing Vita games in Japan. There are more exclusives coming to Vita from Sony Studios.
Like?
Freedom Wars Orishika, which looks like a really, really cool like RPG. And Gravity Rush.
Right.
2, which may or may not be a Vita game anymore. You know, it is disappointing because, like, they could do better with the Vita. They could just do better, you know? And I don't feel like they're treating it with the love it needs. Like, you need to massage it a little bit and
do they not have to worry about it because of the success of PlayStation 4?
Of course, but the PlayStation 4 should give them more reasons to and the success of the PS4 should give them more reasons to support the Vita and be like, well, there's this other thing that you might like,
right.
You know?
Sure.
And it's just a shame because I agree. Like, I play so much on the Vita, and I know a lot of people that own them that feel the same way about it. I mean, I don't think I'm really breaking an embargo telling you I've been playing Velocity 2X on Vita, and it is bonkers.
I'll break it along with you.
Undertaker busts through the wall, kills you both.
It's bonkers.
It's ridiculous.
It's so
that game is so dumbly good.
Good. Like, I can't.
How good that game is.
It's like insane. Like, there's all these games that are just tailor made, and we have it on PS4 too, and it's great there. But I feel like it's at home on Vita, and there's certain games that are just at home on Vita.
Yep. Hotline Miami.
Yeah.
And now Hotline Miami 2, right? Like, that was their thing. They like the headlines were like Hotline Miami 2, PlayStation 4 has a release date. I'm like, Vita. Oh, it's the same thing. You're just not putting Vita anywhere around it. But thank God it's on Vita because that's where I want to play it.
I mean, it's a bummer.
The thing that kills me too is that I feel like there's games that are coming or already on the Vita that. If they were just, it makes me think it's a cultural thing. It's cultural to that brand. Like a game like Freedom Wars, man. From what we've played of Freedom Wars, if that came out on 3DS tomorrow, it would blow up. It would explode. That game would explode on the 3DS. And I feel like, I mean, I can hope it'll explode on the Vita, but it's just It's going to be just like every other like quirky Vita exclusive where it's going to be excellent.
Like Soul Sacrifice or something, like which wasn't excellent, but it was good and like no one cared. You know?
And that just makes me wonder, like, do Sony fans just not care about playing games on the go as much? Like, is just that is
they
that,
did with PSP. I don't know where those people went.
If you grew up with the NES, then you also probably grew up with the Game Boy.
Sure,
you know what I mean. So I feel like that's just part of Nintendo's culture.
This doubles
and the people who love Nintendo love portable games.
Sure, but the 3DS struggled for a while too until it had those marquee games, right? And that's the thing right now is that you figure Nintendo can always fall back on nostalgia. It can always have a new Mario that really gets you excited, Mario Kart that gets you really excited.
Right.
Whereas PlayStation's always bringing out these new franchises, these new exclusives that speak to the PlayStation fan base like us who like suffered through PlayStation 3's early days and have been there and bonded. But then like the kids, they use their touchpads, right? They got their Angry Birds and their Whatnots and their What's a Who's-its, and then people who have their DS are happy with their DS. And I think I always take it for granted, and I used to in my reviews, I know a lot, talk about, oh yeah, I'm playing this PSP because I was a big PSP supporter, playing this game on the train, and like 90% of the country drives a car and doesn't take public transit.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't have those experiences where they think about video games. They come home and they sit down in front of their giant TV and they want to play something there. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's weird and sucks. And for we travel all the time. Like,
right. Yeah.
I love that Vita.
We're a unique subset. I just, you know, Scott Rohde and Shuhei, they listen to this show. Other people at Sony listen to this show. I would just say reconsider. You know, like Vita can do better. And
make the Minecraft one.
And I think that, you know, the die's kind of already cast for it.
Yeah.
I think that their silence on it is pretty telling. But there's just some weirdness when you go to E3 and Freedom Wars is behind closed doors and I play that and everything else is PS4. But then you go on the show floor and there are like 50 Vita games.
Yeah.
And these games all have, you know, weight and worth, whether they're good or not. They're just not the big game that you need to drive people to your handheld. And I really feel like, you know, they just have to, you know, like a new Uncharted would be a smart move, a new Infamous, new God of War, something that, like, gets the PlayStation
fans
on board.
Throw all your PlayStation 4 money at Rockstar and get a new Grand Theft Auto.
I mean, can you imagine, like, if you got a Liberty City store, like a, you know, a San Andreas stories on Vita? That would sell Vita.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, is it worth the investment? Do they want to do that? Obviously not. It is sad because Vita is a really, really pretty delightful device. And I like the PSP a lot, too. And I like the 3DS, but I like playing portable games, and I think that you don't have to justify a portable simply if you're on the go. I think that a portable's fine in your house, you know? Like, so it's just, I don't know. But I think Greg's right. I think that the climate's just changed. I think Sony misunderstood the climate. I think I certainly misunderstood the climate as a, you know, as a critic, too. I think a lot of people did. I remember, you know, a lot of people make fun of our bullishness with Vita before it came out, but a lot of people forget that everyone was really excited about it.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that. What was it, 2011 at E3 when they announced the price, or was it 2012 at E3 when they announced? No, it was 2011 when they announced the price,
and
everyone
couldn't
believe it. Everyone flipped out.
Yeah, yeah. They flipped.
I remember, like, people, like, there's a lot of revisionist history on this now, but like, if you go to any gaming website, read editorials, everyone's like, the Vita is going to be awesome and it's huge.
Yeah.
I can't believe it costs so cheap.
Absolutely.
And it's blah 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 blah. And then it just
then the memory card price.
Yeah, then the memory cards and all that kind of stuff dropped like a ton of bricks and killed the momentum. And then 3D, you know, Nintendo brilliantly released Mario Kart and New Super Mario World 2 or whatever,
yeah,
or Brothers 2 or
Mario
whatever
World
it was,
yeah.
At the same time in Japan and just murdered it.
Yeah.
You know, so it was actually a brilliant stroke of genius.
James chimes in with something we missed because we had to move around so fast today. Of course, this is the fastest episode of Podcast Beyond, the history of Podcast
Beyond.
James wrote in Beyond at IGN.com and said, Beyond, dear Greg, Colin, an ever-rotating third chair. Today it was announced that Valiant Hearts, arguably one of the best games of the year, is coming to iOS mobile devices.
Oof.
This shocked me, since I expected it to follow UbiArt's other game, Child of Light, on the Vita. I can't help but think this is another blow to Vita, and it seems like its support is quickly waning. I understand that there are many third-party games coming up for the system that Vita needs, but is support going to survive much longer? What are your thoughts? Yeah, that was super sad. I still hold that hope they'll come around, but...
Well, they
damn,
had
they put
they
Child
had,
of Light out, yeah, and like now it's not there. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, well, Child of Light was probably their test bed to see how it would do,
yeah,
and
yeah,
it probably didn't do well.
This is
so
the same thing
you
we were talking about last week with BioShock, right? Like BioShock is being ported to iOS and not to Vita.
That blows my mind.
Right.
It's just that's just a travesty. Like not only with, I wasn't here for that episode, but it's not even that it's not on Vita, like whatever. It's just that you're gonna play arguably the best story-driven shooter of all time on a touchpad? I don't think so, sir. You're not going to be playing it on that touchpad. Do yourself a favor and buy it on PS3 or Xbox 360 where it belongs.
Mm.
You need...
Or PC.
Or PC, right. You need to have a more tactile control scheme than that. And that's...
You need to have like a real, actual
Your finger's going to be all over the screen.
You need an actual gaming device.
It's just not good. That, I wasn't appalled like other people were. They're like, what about Vita? I was like, yeah, it's sad. I mean, obviously it's not going to come to Vita. The what I was appalled about, I was like, a tablet? Jesus.
That just shows you what it comes down to. I mean, not that we ever had any questions about what it comes down to, but it's not about whether or not it can do it or whether or not the experience is going to be, you know, a good experience. It's about whether or not their efforts are going to pay off in the end. And you look at the install base of the one, you look at the install base of the other, one of them pays off and the other one doesn't. And the sad thing is that on iOS, it'll sell no matter how crappy the controls are. And I don't know that they're crappy. I haven't used them myself. But if it's controls as well as the best handling first-person shooter on iOS, it'll be crappy. And it'll still sell enough that they feel better about doing that than they would have about Vita. And that makes me kind of sad.
Yeah, I don't like that. I just can't play core games of most genres on a touchscreen. You know, like, there are games that are perfect for that. Like, when I play Plants vs. Zombies, sure, or I play strategy games and stuff on my tablet, that's totally great. But a shooter? Come on. I don't know. I'm so distressed and saddened by Vita's state.
Yeah.
Generally, that you know, it's just a bummer. Just a bummer. You get trophies on the go, for God's sake.
Why wouldn't you want it?
What are you thinking?
We have to start wrapping up the show already, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen. Last week I talked about the Gamer Masterpiece Contest. You guys came out to help me. Thank you so much. You still can at bit.ly/beyondpainting. But a young man who is named Yuichi, who actually is an online content producer at Konami, wrote in about it. He says, "Hey Greg, Colin, an honored guest. I have attached my altered gamer masterpiece, including a 1920x1080 wallpaper. Placed appropriately in the picture is none other than Shuhei Yoshida-san. Big Boss's face is also placed at the back of the boat." If you're watching the video, this is up. If you're getting the MP3, it's embedded in the article. You're welcome to go download this wallpaper. I'll probably make it the album art. Yuichi goes on to say, "Feel free to distribute to the Beyond Nation and keep up the great work. Please look forward to a special interview with Kojima-san and Jeff Keighley regarding Metal Gear Solid V: The Phantom Pain Wednesday on twitch.tv/Konami. Well, you're welcome. That's a shameless plug, Yuichi. But you're welcome to look forward to that. The painting's awesome. It's like, you know, mine's all terrible Photoshop, but his is really good.
Are you winning?
No. Well, see, here what's happening, right? Is that if you're just catching up, I did the whole thing.
This is going to be a very long no, by the way.
I keep going back and forth. I said, you know, vote for me on this thing. I want to put the portrait that they'll give me in the office, give the PlayStation 4 away to a Beyond fan. Some people, of course, the majority of Beyond fans, 99% of you were like, totally, we're in. Vote, 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 vote. I skyrocketed to first place. Then Gaff got a hold of this.
Oh,
and they're like, wait
no.
a second. This is bad. And like, the people are in there defending the cause or whatever. So they started voting for the second place. The joke is on them because the top 10 wins. So I don't even care if I'm not number one. go vote for everyone.
Oh, wait. So everyone wins?
Yeah. That's 10? The thing is like,
you get your own print of it?
I set up the contest a bit wrong. I'm not screwing over the number one person. I'm screwing over the 21st person. It's the first... The top 10 get the painting and a PS4. The top 20, I guess the next top 10, you know, the whatever,
right.
11 through 20, they just get the painting, no PS4. So that's it all.
Harsh. You get the painting with
your stupid
with
face.
Galahad on it and stuff and Delson, but you can't play their games.
Yeah. All right, so yeah, go vote. bit.ly/beyondpainting. I'm still trying to win you all a PlayStation 4. You can submit, I think, what did I say? I need a PlayStation 4. Or I need
a PS4. Yeah,
please
keep sending those emails.
You make up filter. Oh, it's so hard to delete email. Your life's so rough. It's so rough being Collie. Your hair is coarse.
I know. That's why I have the Italian afro.
Time for another installment of my favorite's new segment, the worst PlayStation name of the week. This comes from Elijah. Hey, Greg, Colin, and the person in the Russian roulette third chair of yours. I'm a 16-year-old high school senior that lives in the Bay Area like you guys. I've had my PS3 for 5 years now, and my PSN name is Mr. Ponton. Ponton is actually my last name. That may sound more of an uncommon name rather than a bad one, but it's the story that makes it bad. When me and my dad were making my PSN account, we were confused as to use an email address or make up a name for the username. So part of this old email address, which started Mr. Ponton, for the username is what we use. From then on, every time I play an online match, the people who don't know me usually always pronounce my name wrong. I've heard mispronunciations that range from Mr. Protin, Mr. Proton, and Mr. Pintin. to Mr. Potion, Mr. Position, and Mr. Photon.
Mr. Potion. I want to be Mr. Potion.
I even heard Mr. Tampon. One is the one's gonna get you, Colin. One guy just gave up and called me Mr. Jamestown. Honestly, I've heard so many deviations that it doesn't even bother me anymore. Thanks for reading this letter and beyond. Let us change our names, Shuhei Yoshida. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Podcast Beyond, episode 355. Usually, we're a very orderly, fun, off-the-rails podcast. I guess all that really happened. But you go a little bit longer. Sorry, we had to be short this week. Obviously, we're trying to shove in a lot for Gamescom. Remember, you need to go to IGN.com because it keeps the bills on. Go there, read all
keeps
the games.
Bills on.
Keeps the bills on.
There's no time to correct me! Go to IGN.com, read the articles, watch the videos, sign up for Prime. It gets you around the ads, and it helps everybody, and it gets you free games, and it does cool stuff. Buy t-shirts at splitreason.com/IGN. Follow us all on Twitter. IGN is IGN. I'm Game Over Greggy. Colin is No Taxation. Vince is Vincognito.
Woo-woo!
You can watch the video version of the show, which posts every Wednesday, the MP3 every Tuesday. You can see it all spelled out there, Vince's little name.
When you want to woo, woo.
Just getting crazy. Every episode of Podcast Beyond ends in a song, in a segment we call Ryan's Wrap-Up, and today's actually floored me, ladies and gentlemen. We had a lot of great songs. I love this one. It comes from Alex. He says, Beyond, Greg, Beyond. Colin, in the rotating third chair. My name is Alex. I am a member of an a cappella group from Long Island called Satellite Lane. We recently released our first single, which I think you'll enjoy. It's called Geeky Girl, and it's our nerdy love anthem. We've packed in it 43 different nerd and pop culture references, including Mario, Portal, Doctor Who, Superman, and Firefly. I'm sure that you'll be able to catch them all.
And Jericho.
Put in quotes. We'd love to be the first a cappella entry into Ryan's Wrap-Up. Alex, your song's fantastic. It's my pleasure to play this song, Geeky Girl, from Satellite Lane, which you can find across Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as satellitelane.com.
Long Island.
It's on iTunes. It's on Google Play. It's on everything else. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Podcast Beyond, and we're out. Beyond!
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 I saw you staring from across the room at the New York Comic Con. I couldn't see you clearly cause I had my Vader helmet on. You asked me out to dinner in some far away locale. You showered me with diamonds and you sang me songs of romance. But I only like Weird Al.
Like a surgeon.
Harry will finally marry, though the death count will be 'cause I'm a geeky girl.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.